you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders. If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now.
Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. I'm Dave Smith. He is Rob Bernstein, the fire, the king of the caulks. What's up, my brother? How you feeling?
I'm excited to be here. Got all my abortions out before we had to do the episode, so I'm good and ready to go.
It's just good common sense anyway. It was always something we told people. Get your abortions out for the, you know, at least in the first half of the year, get all the abortions you need for the whole year. And then you have the rest of the year to just chill and party. You know?
Yeah, you don't want to find out that they're unavailable. Yeah, like food.
There you go. Food being unavailable, though, Rob, is not big news. Abortions being unavailable in three states, that is a game changer.
I think it's a cover up for the deflation that's coming. The same way you can't get a flight, they actually can't provide the abortions anymore. So they got to pretend like something else happened.
I'll tell you, I think we'd be in better shape if deflation was coming, but I don't think it is. I think we're going to be in an inflationary recession, which is not fun. I think the worst of both worlds. Anyway, that's neither here nor there at the moment. Few things before we start up. I believe there are still some tickets available for Freedom Fest, where I will be at in just a couple weeks now. Freedom Fest, if you've never been, is like insane. It's a great time. It's a huge, huge event with tons of huge speakers. Go check them out. I'll be speaking there and I believe doing a panel and some other stuff. So come on out. Hope to see some of you guys out there. And then also I'll be doing the Young Americans for Liberty Revolution 22 event down in Orlando. That's in August. I think the beginning of August. So go check that out. You find all my dates now, by the way. I got my website redone and, finally and functioning. Go to comicdavesmith.com. I'll have all my gigs up there, all the stuff that I'm doing, all the stuff me and Rob are doing together. That'll all be up on the website. So now there's a nice easy place to go find all of it. What do you got coming up, Rob?
Well, my website's still a mess, but there's a link in the episode description with all of my tour dates. Most recent coming up this weekend is Sandpoint, Idaho, Seattle, and then next weekend, Atlanta and Nashville, and then following that, DC and Maryland.
Yeah, man. Everyone, by the way, if you haven't already, you got to go see Rob live. I was very happy. And of course, I know what Rob does because we fucking tour together all the time. But everybody who I talked to who like went to Porkfest was like, oh, bummer, you couldn't be there. But man, Rob killed it up there, blah, blah, blah. So I was very happy to hear that. So you guys go check out Rob. Absolutely. Even if he's not with me, go check him out. But really, when he's with me, that's when you really got to be there. That's when it matters.
I agree.
That's when it's game time.
I like the live part of the problems.
Yeah. Oh, me too. I love them. Always have a great time doing the live part of the problems. And of course, doing stand-up. That's what we love to do. Remember back when we were all just doing this stuff just to support our stand-up careers? And then at some point, we were like, oh, I guess this is... Yeah. Yeah. Everything. And then at some point, I had kids. And it all changed. All right. So what's still been dominating, at, I think, everything is the fallout to Roe v. Wade being overturned. Or I guess not technically. I guess you don't technically overturn a decision, but a new Supreme Court decision. What's it called? I'm blanking on the name. But anyway, everyone's still talking about abortion being sent down to the states. The fallout from it has been pretty interesting in a lot of different ways. Many people are going insane. It's just, that's always an interesting spectacle to watch. One of the things that, because we just talked about this on the last episode, and we talked a lot about the political ramifications. We also talked a lot about just the specifics of how people feel about abortion and what the arguments are and my pro-life position. One of the things that we didn't mention that's really, I've been reading a lot about in the last few days, which is really pretty amazing, is that giant corporations, many, many big companies, are just openly saying that they will pay their workers if they're in one of these states that's restricting abortion to go to another state where abortion is legal, that they'll pay your travel and expenses and give you the time off work to go kill your baby and then you can come right back and get back to work. I thought this was, I don't exactly know how to describe it. Just like, I guess, first of all, obviously I'm pro-life and so I find it kind of sickening, but also incredibly revealing. Like, it almost seems like, oh, you guys really let the mask slip there. And you're just letting them know, like, corporate America is very comfortable. It's not as if these giant corporations know the situation of the woman that, when pro-choice activists will be talking about getting an abortion, they'll often invoke situations of, well, what about like a 13-year-old who gets pregnant? She's completely helpless. She doesn't want to have a baby. Her life's going to be ruined, blah, blah, blah. They just kind of create these situations that do legitimately like tug at your heartstrings of like, ugh, even if you're completely pro-life, you can still look at that and go, yes, I do have empathy for the situation that this young girl is in, But none of that exists with these big corporations. They don't know what situation they're in. They're like, yeah, like, I don't care if you're fucking 25 and broke or you're 32 and married or like whatever. It's just like, but if you'd like to kill your kid and just get right back to work, we're quite happy to pay for that. So there's something very revealing about that. And obviously, there's a pretty strong economic incentive for corporate America to prefer that a woman not go through 9 months of pregnancy and then another, 5 years of having a very little kid. I guess the first 5 years, you really have little kids. After that, maybe you kind of just have a kid. But that's going to be a real, competition of what the priority of your time is and your energy. And so they are quite clearly sending a message that it is worth it to them financially for you to go and have an abortion. Now, I'm not saying they support. Go ahead.
Well, it depends on how many abortion vacations you're going to take. You take yes. 5 or 6 of these a year, you might cost your company $30,000 a year. And well, I can't imagine they got a cap on that. You think HR is going to call you in and be like, hey, you can't kill any more babies this year? You're at your baby killing quota?
Well, look, Rob, I think the truth is that even at that quota, compared to 9 months of pregnancy, maternity leave, and then
you
having
work at
kids,
a Target, it depends on where you work. I suppose. In a Walmart.
Yeah, I suppose. But I think a lot more of these are like, it was a lot of like financial institutions. You're talking about like middle management type people there. You know what I mean? I think that in general, a woman getting pregnant.
Well, I got a hotter take.
Oh, go ahead.
You shouldn't have to pay for your fucking pregnancy anyways. It's crazy.
Well, I don't completely disagree. Well, I agree with you. I always thought the thing is kind of, The idea of getting paid when you're not doing the work to me always kind of baffles me. Like, what? So now you're just asking for something. You're just asking for charity from your company.
You can bankrupt a small company. Like, if you're a lady and you know you want to get pregnant next year and you take a job at like a four-man operation, like, you can literally ruin that guy's operation.
Well, I think it's
crazy to me.
It's illegal currently to ask a woman when you're interviewing her, like, did you plan on getting pregnant? Well, you know, that probably does happen quite a bit. Honestly, that probably does happen. Oh, no. From my perspective, it's completely reasonable for an employer to ask that. You know, like if you're like you said, you're running some small little company, which the vast majority of companies are small companies, you know, by in terms of like the way people think of them, the vast majority of companies don't have more than 100 employees. I forget the numbers, but if you look it up, it's like the overwhelming majority are less than that. And if you're running a little operation, like you said, maybe 5-6 employees, and you're like talking to like a 25-year-old woman who you're looking to have a job there, and you're like, look, there's a real serious job. We're going to pay you a really good salary. We have really high expectations. You're going to be an integral part of this operation. If she's like, hey, I'm married and I plan on having 4 kids, that's kind of important information to know. She's like, look, there's going to be basically 3 years that I'm not going to be like working at the same, you know what I mean? At the same like rate that I normally am. And then look back to what I was saying before. Anyway, so I think I agree with you. I think that's completely reasonable. Look, this is a voluntary exchange between two parties. And I think it's reasonable to ask what you're getting in this exchange. But aside from that, you can see where in, you know, corporate America, having, you know, regular corporate jobs. And I'm not thinking about like so much like you're saying the person like working at Target or something like that. I'm thinking about the person who's got like a regular, you know, 70K plus benefits corporate job. You could see where, first off, being pregnant for 9 months, being probably off for at least a couple months after the baby's first born, and then for 5 years having a little kid. That's if you only have one, you know, you could see where that's not exactly preferable as far as their incentives are concerned. First off, your overall work output will almost certainly suffer during pregnancy. As somebody who's like, you know, my wife's had 2 of my children, living with somebody who's pregnant full time. Listen, being pregnant is a lot. The expectation that you would be completely unaffected in anything you do while being pregnant, I think, is like absurd and unfair to women to expect that. And then after having kids, you know, your priorities might change a little bit. Maybe, you know, as I think is the case with a lot of mothers of little children, maybe your priority isn't just making sure that you move up the corporate chain and making sure you one day achieve middle management. Maybe your priority is more, you know, getting to put your kid to bed, making sure you're there for their soccer game, making sure. I mean, this is just like, this is the reality of what happens. And in fact, personally, and I would imagine anyone who has kids would say that those family priorities are way more important than work priorities. And also, look, the reality is for like 90%+ of people, work is just that. It's work. So your work isn't like some dream, like incredibly rewarding, unbelievably awesome thing. I mean, that is true for a very small percentage of people who have like incredibly meaningful careers. But for the vast majority of people, work's like work. You know, you clock in and clock out, and in between, it's like you're. And that's true for the overwhelming majority of corporate jobs. You know, I'm somebody who is fortunate enough and has worked hard enough, and kind of. But there's a mix of luck and talent or whatever, but I'm somebody, I really love what I do. I love what I do. I only do things that I love. I love doing these. I love doing comedy podcasts. I love doing political podcasts. I love doing stand-up comedy. I love giving talks. I just love everything I do in my career. And I still think it is completely meaningless compared to family stuff. And this is even more true for moms, which is just the reality, which I think you're not allowed to say anymore, or not supposed to say anymore, but it's just so obviously the case. And everyone knows this. But corporate America would prefer the other way. They'd prefer you childless. And they're showing that with their money. And that in itself is an interesting kind of thing to recognize. Now, I'm not saying all of the people at the top of these giant corporations are so evil that they'd have you kill your two-year-old or something like that. Just your baby inside of you. But there is something to almost like understanding that, like, yeah, they'd prefer you didn't have that two-year-old. You know what I'm saying? Like, they'd prefer that you didn't have this like work family life balance. They'd prefer that you were childless. And that might be better for some corporations' bottom line, but it is sure as shit not better for society. And there's something that like it, there's something to recognize there. Like, if you look at the state of the culture of our society and you think to yourself, like, yeah, the fact that the family unit has been completely destroyed is not great. That might be contributing to the decay of our culture, of our society. It's worth noting that these corporations, who essentially have our government owned, they prefer this. They prefer childless women. And I'll be damned if childless women are not what's ruining this world. Just saying. Any thoughts, Rob?
Yeah, I do think that you're right, that it probably is in their financial best interest. I would venture to guess, though, their decision here is a little bit more political and that they actually want to come out on the side of being woke.
I think that's part of it.
We saw that with like Coca-Cola when whatever that abortion decision was. You would think if you were a conservative company, like in your you've got offices in Texas. And so maybe people were like, you would just think you'd stay out of this shit, or you got customers in Texas. You would just stay out of this. I would think it's just in your financial interest. Or if you were to make such a policy, you do it very quietly within your HR and you would just let it be known in a more quiet fashion. To me, this is more of a, I think there's a lot of money in the Fed and there's a lot of money in kind of the socialist agenda. And I think people are picking sides the same as like the tech companies did of being aligned with the left. And so that's more of what I see here.
Well, I see both. So I completely agree with everything you're saying. I think there's no question that we have that these big companies, giant corporations, are very happy to be like, look, all our chips are in with Team Woke. There's no question about that. We see evidence of it all the time. And so, yeah, there's definitely something to that. But I also think like when they're actually writing checks out like this, there is an economic incentive involved. And there's that. Now, the other thing that's fascinating about this, which is true about all
the math.
So go ahead.
I'd be curious to see if the math even checks out on that, because like if you were to look at, let's just say you had 100 women, an office of 1,000 people, and I don't know, 500 of them are women. Let's just say. And let's say you got a liberal demographic. So without your company, like in a normal year, how many abortions do you think there are versus how many pregnancies? What's the cost that you're now going to outline on those abortions? It might actually not be a financial savings versus like if you only if you've got, let's just say, 500 women between the age of 20 and 40 and it's a very liberal office. I don't know how many abortions are taking place. I don't know the math on that, but it could
be
that
I wouldn't know. I think it depends on the area probably too.
Yeah, but I'm just saying like it might be the volume of abortions are higher than your volume of people that would go through with a pregnancy.
Well, I agree, but I think if abortions are illegal now, their calculation is that that might change. There might be a lot
more
women who
are
going to have the baby if they can't get an abortion. So I think that's the calculation. Regardless, one of the things that's really interesting about this dynamic, and it's very interesting about the dynamic in America, particularly in, I'd say, the last 10, 12 years, is that, and I'm not saying that this speaks to the entirety of the left, because there are some good left-wingers who are exceptions to this, but it really is unbelievable how much the average left-wing boot on the ground, when I say boot on the ground, I mean the activist, the protester, the rioter, the, you know what I mean? Just like how much the average, like effeminate man or pink-haired lady or, you know, Antifa member, whatever, you know what I mean? Like that, whatever the left-wing boots on the grounds are, how much of them are in 100% alliance with corporate America? It's really just amazing. Like you would think they're supposed to be natural enemies, you know what I mean? But man, are those days over? Are those days of they're even being like a presentation of we're on the opposite side of corporate America. I mean, yes, Elizabeth Warren will say some things about how the oil companies are too greedy or something like that to put the blame on them rather than the Biden administration or whatever. But it really is amazing that these kids don't even see that it's like every like slogan that you're spouting is right on the same page with corporate America. To me, this is one of the biggest and most interesting effects of the rise of wokeism. You know, you see it where it's like, you know, at the example I always love to use, because there was a picture of this, I think it was last year, of the Bank of America float at the Gay Pride Parade, you know, and it's like, does this completely go over leftists' heads that like you're now on the side of the big banks? Or, you know, or you think like the big banks are now on the side of you, maybe, but really, I don't see it that way, because talk of the big banks has really gone away and talk of all these other things. There's something about the abortion issue, and I'm not saying that it's not an important issue. I think it's a very important issue, but there's something about it that is really, look, Roe v. Wade being overturned is absolutely no threat to the powerful people in America. There's no problem with that. They'll, first off, they're not really in these red states. And even if they are, they'll find a way to travel out. They'll get their side piece in abortion if they need to. This is it's no threat to them. And yet this issue really pits Americans against each other. And it's kind of interesting that there's just so much energy, especially at this moment right now, all being devoted toward that. An issue that doesn't threaten the powerful, that really pits Americans against each other. Just saying, if you start to look for it, particularly over the last 10, 12 years, you'll just notice there's a lot of issues like that that sure do seem to get a ton of coverage, sure do seem to get pushed into the you know, mainstream, if that even exists anymore, as much as possible. The issues that do nothing to threaten the powerful, but really pit regular Americans against each other. Once you start looking for that, it's very hard to unsee it.
Yeah, remember the days when the Democrats used to talk out against Big Pharma and Big Pharma profits?
Yeah. Yeah, there were. And not even just Democrats, but like regular people, like liberals, you know what right. I mean? Like regular people would like talk out about it, not just the politicians. And to be fair, there still are a few who are really, you know, it in a way you respect them even more because they're like in an environment where a lot of their, you know, the people around them probably don't care to hear about that. You know, so I give Bill Maher credit for that, that he was talking about kind of Big Pharma corruption throughout the last couple years, where it's like been very like, that's not really what his audience is looking for. They're looking for like, yeah, you're an idiot. You must be a Neanderthal if you don't take the vaccine or something like that. You know, really, it's almost sometimes it's almost hard with all these moments to even remember how high the hysteria was. I think me and you kind of live in this world, so we know a little bit more. But even now, it's not quite the same. Like, you can kind of criticize the vaccine now. You know what I mean? It's not quite as white hot as it was at one point. But do you remember? You remember at the height of where we were really like critical of all this shit, where it was like, oh yeah, this is really like, you might get in a fight with a friend over this. You might lose your social media account. You might really like, this is really something you're not supposed to do. Anyway, just interesting how these things kind of ebb and flow. All right, guys, let's take a quick second and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers professional counseling done securely online. So if you feel like there's something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals, definitely check out BetterHelp. I will tell you, I'm a big believer in therapy. I've personally benefited from it in the past. I've seen people where it's really turned their lives around. I think sometimes people have misconceptions about therapy or find it a little daunting. I don't know if I want to go in there and like take on my entire childhood and every bad memory. A lot of times this stuff is really just about making small improvements in your day-to-day life. So if there is anything that you think could be improved, which kind of describes all of us, Now the barrier to entry is lower than ever. You don't even have to go into an office. You don't have to go through this uncomfortable thing. Just go to BetterHelp. Whatever you're dealing with, BetterHelp has a wide range of counselors available for you. Plus, BetterHelp is more affordable than the traditional counseling. Financial aid is available, and it's really easy to get started. You just sign up at BetterHelp, and they'll match you with your own licensed professional therapist who you'll be able to communicate with in under 48 hours. This is not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so it's easy and free to switch counselors if needed. You can send a message to your counselor at any time. You'll get a timely and thoughtful response. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so it's the perfect way to do therapy during the pandemic, and you won't have to go back to sitting in an uncomfortable waiting room in the future. BetterHelp.com/problem. Go there and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. New testimonials from users are posted daily. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. BetterHelp.com/problem. That's BetterHelp.com/problem. That'll get you 10% off your first month. BetterHelp.com/problem for 10% off your first month. All right, let's get back into the show. All right, so there's been some fun reactions to some of this stuff. Hillary Clinton was interviewed the other day on, I believe it was on MSNBC.
Our great savior.
The
one person who might be able to turn this thing around.
Yeah, so Hillary Clinton was interviewed about it, and it's really... I don't know why anyone even wants to interview Hillary Clinton about anything anymore, but if you're going to, we are going to mock her. So let's check in with old Hill Dog.
Justice Thomas has sort of floated that out there about contraceptive rights and
yes.
contraception and about same-sex marriages, but other justices have pushed back to say, no, he's really sort of on his own with that.
Well,
believe that?
Well, he may be on his own, but he's signaling, as he often did, you know, people, I went to law school with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a person of grievance for as long as I've known him. Resentment, grievance, anger. And he has signaled in the past to lower courts, to state legislatures, find cases, pass laws.
All right, let's pause it already for a second. So here you have Hillary Clinton. My apologies, it was on ABC. So here you have Hillary Clinton. But she's calling Justice Clarence Thomas somebody who is possessed by resentment and anger.
Shouldn't he be? I mean, he's a black man. This has been a system that worked against him his whole life.
So
shouldn't that?
It's just unbelievable how blatant they are with it. Where if once you're not a progressive, you lose all of the protection that you're supposed to walk around with 24/7. I mean, I remember them doing things on when people would comment on how Hillary Clinton looked or if she didn't smile or something. And they'd be like, oh, this is so sexist that you would even say this. But could you ever imagine, you know, like if one of them said like Barack Obama was a politician animated by resentment and anger, like how much they'd be like, oh, dude, this is obviously a racist thing to say. Also, like you said, I mean, Clarence Thomas isn't just a black dude. He's an old black dude. Like he actually was, I believe he was born in the Jim Crow South. Double check me on that. But he's actually especially by the progressive narrative of the world, have a lot to be angry and resentful for. But I personally have never even heard him bring that up. He doesn't even really talk about that. I mean, it's funny. Anyway, it's pretty funny, like, you know, just hearing this. The other thing about it is that, I mean, like the level of projection. I mean, Hillary Clinton is somebody, she literally wrote a book about losing the presidential election in 2016 and blamed Russia and racism and fake news and everything except herself. And she's going to call someone else out for being bitter and resentful. It's just too hilarious.
Here's what I'm picking up on. Cause you know, I try and listen to these liberals. I try and be a better liberal. I try and educate mm-hmm. myself so I can of fit course. In with society. And so what I'm here saying is that we can't trust black men to make decisions because if you're black, you're going to be angry and resentful because we have a racist structure. Mm-hmm. And that's where the white privilege comes in, because only white people can make sound decisions because we don't live with that anger and resentment. So I think she's advocating that we need to put white people back in charge and that we can't allow black people to make decisions. I think that's what I'm hearing.
Maybe we even need two separate areas for those resentful and for those not so resentful. You know, they could be separate but equal. Just the resentful people go over there and our people go over here.
Anyway. Unless maybe if you're black and you can prove that you're not resentful. Because, I mean, I guess the assumption is based off the color of your skin that you would be resentful. So you'd have to do something to somehow prove that you overcame that. I don't know how you would even do it.
I don't know. Maybe Hillary will answer for us. Let's keep playing.
Laws, get them up. I may not win the first, the second, or the third time, but we're going to keep at it.
So you're saying people pay attention to
this? Yes, the people he is speaking to, which is the, you know, right-wing, very conservative judges and justices and state legislatures. And the thing that there's so many things about it that are deeply distressing, but women are going to die, Gail. Women will die.
We reach out to Justice Thomas for a comment.
All right, there you go. All right. Rob, why are you laughing? Women are going to die.
No, it's because the adamant, the urgency, women will die. This is like the vaccine shit. What women? Where? Why?
Yeah.
What is this going to be, this pandemic of death because of, what are they saying? Because if more women choose to go through with their pregnancy because they don't travel to other states where they can get an abortion, we're talking about an increase in, like, I mean, specifically, how many people do you think are dying because we've outlawed abortions?
Are they having these babies in the 1720s?
Yeah,
like, look, I'm not saying no one dies in childbirth, but I mean, it's a very low number. And it's
Brian. We could do the math right now. Brian, if you could look up how many childbirths there are a year, and then I think it's 20 per 100,000. So whatever the birth rate is, basically.
Well, that's child deaths. You have to look up women.
That's women dying during
women
childbirth.
Women dying in childbirth. Well, look, whatever the number is, I don't even know. It's an incredibly low figure. But
no, that's the way to do it. Then you could deduct that by the amount of abortions.
No, I understand.
If you got rid of every abortion, how much would the increase in death in? 150 is my guess. 150 people.
The truth is that this is more evidence of what I was saying. And it's almost it becomes almost laughable at a point. Where people but that's the number isn't even how many, whatever, it doesn't matter. We don't need it. The number is going to be very small. Because the number that of women who die in childbirth a year, that wouldn't be affected. It's if the difference between that and the number of abortions a year. So add, what do we get? Like 600,000 abortions a year. Add what percentage of that in six? It's going to be a tiny number, regardless. What I was saying was laughable at this point is just that, as I've mentioned many times when you talk about this, it's as if they just refuse to engage with the argument that pro-lifers are making. And if you're even being somewhat honest, if you're just pretending to be somewhat honest, you have to at least admit, even, and I've talked to a lot of pro-choice people who will admit this readily, that like the pro-lifers have a point. There's something to the argument of like, is it killing a baby? Well, it's in the ballpark of that. You know, there's an argument there that like you shouldn't be able to kill the baby just because it's inside of you. You know, once you at least acknowledge what their argument is, what our argument is, you realize how silly saying something like this is. You go, if we ban abortions, people will die. You're like, right. But what would the rejoinder to that be? From the pro-life position, you go, every time you have an abortion, it's a guarantee that somebody dies, right? So that's the response. It's like, yeah, I don't know. Like, okay, an incredibly tiny percentage of women who give birth die in childbirth. But a baby dies every time you have an abortion. So there you go. That's the counter to your argument, but it's like you have to pretend that argument doesn't even exist. It's just
that's like, yeah,
women dying versus no issue.
if you had a forced organ harvesting center and you said, hey, we can't harvest these organs by force anymore, and you're like, yeah, but all these people waiting for livers are gonna die.
It's like, yeah, right. But the argument is that, but you're killing a person every time you do this. So, all right.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's the argument from the other side, whether you care to deal with it or not, but you're probably never going to persuade anyone if you don't even pretend to deal with the argument. So, yeah. Anyway, it's a, if you, anyone who's actually willing to get into this argument, once you push them a little bit, will almost always have to acknowledge that at least at a point in the pregnancy, there's a real moral question involved here. And so then you just kind of get into a, you know, whatever, like the stuff we were talking about last week. Okay. So one of the things, by the way, that is just so like maddening about Hillary Clinton's comments here, and just the general kind of, you know, trend of all of this, is that Roe v. Wade being overturned allows the most privileged, amongst there with some of the most privileged human beings who have ever existed in the history of the world, to all of a sudden declare themselves the victims of oppression. You know what I mean? It's like there's the, you have like, you know, whatever, 20-year-old women on college campuses in the United States of America in a first world country in the 21st century. But they're like, the fact that, you know, if you just think, forget even about the forces of government, which we talk about all the time, but just the forces of nature, how oppressive human history was, you know what I mean? Before a minute ago, like I know to everyone, like, you know, 1895 or something like that feels like a very long time ago, but really in the grand history of humanity, it's not that long ago. And that most people's lives were so brutally like difficult that we can't even comprehend it. You know, we can't even comprehend the idea of like actually living on like a dollar a day in adjusted from, you know, current value, and, you know, whatever, actually, like, you know, losing brothers and sisters at a very young age, and doing the backbreaking work, and, you know, even like work of just like, what, you know, like, even if you were just like a housewife or something like that, but, you know, you probably in those days probably had seven kids or something like that. And you're talking about like taking care of a house when there's no refrigerator and no washing machine and no vacuum cleaner and no, you know what I mean? And like, it's real, like real intense work, and going into winters, like genuinely concerned of like, who's going to fucking like come down with a bad cold and what that might mean. You know what I mean? Like really, like real oppressive forces just from the forces of nature before we kind of like liberated humanity with all of these technological advances. And then you think about some 20-year-old, you know, girl today on a college campus who's like, I am oppressed because I can't just have random sex consequence free. Let me tweet about that on my smartphone. There's something about that that's just like so like, no matter where you fall down on the pro-choice, pro-life argument, there's something about that that's just so like, ah, like God, it's about having no perspective and just feeling like a victim. So that's been a big theme in general. And that's one of the things I was thinking about as I saw our next guest here, who is a comedian, Wanda Sykes. She was on one of the late shows. They're all the same. But she was on one of the late shows last night. So let's check in with her.
How are you doing?
I'm a black gay woman and I have a daughter, so I'm not doing so well right now.
So already let's pause it. Of course, a comment like this gets a round of applause. What does it mean? I have no idea. I mean, the daughter part, I suppose I can understand what she's trying to say. But what is being a black gay woman? You're black. What does that have to do with anything? You're gay. You don't really have to worry about getting pregnant. You're a woman, but you're certainly out of the age range where you have to be concerned about this. So it's just like progressive talking points. And then the entire audience just gives you a round of applause. It's so funny, like the progressive thing, which of course is a major theme of anyone who's not a progressive, almost any time people talk about this stuff. But the idea is like, you have to be like, well, I am, look, because of these immutable characteristics, I am up against it. I am the oppressed one. And then you get a round of applause on a late night show for that, because which almost disproves your entire point. There, go ahead.
No, I think that's what she's getting a round of applause for, because before she was down, you know, she was like on the totem pole of like, oh, we got to listen to this person, black, gay, lesbian. But now it doesn't count for anything because people don't want to listen to Clarence. So it's like they're upset. Ooh, and so they're showing support for the fact that, you know, it's upsetting that she thought she was at the pinnacle of who needed to be listened to.
Yeah, right. Maybe that's it. That's a way to make it
her,
make sense.
Yeah, her listen to privilege is going away, and they're very they're very upset about this.
This was very interesting. This interview. So check this out if you haven't already, because there she really talk about letting the mask slide. She really, because she's like kind of in this added energy of like, I'm not here to be funny, I'm here to complain. She
Did
really
she hate her daughter.
It, well,
that she thinks everyone should be able to get rid of their kids. Is that what she was saying about her daughter?
I'm not quite sure. But here, let's play a little bit more, and we'll see how Wanda Sykes views the world.
By the way, Hunter Biden might be the best argument for abortions. Joe should be getting out there. Because so let me tell you, you don't want...
Yo, look, man, I could have saved myself so much humiliation.
You want to have all going. Those kids. Some of them are real bad.
I'm a little salty.
You're a little salty?
I'm a little salty right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll sprinkle a little salt.
Yeah.
Let's put some flavor
it
on here.
It just sucks, man. It really does. I mean, you know, it's like the country, it's no longer a democracy, right? I mean, it's no longer majority rule.
No, certainly not right? In the Senate. Certainly not in the representation from the Supreme
it's
Court.
Not, yeah. It's not. It's no longer majority rule. And I mean, it's like these judges, they just... They basically lied when they were, you know, doing their confirmation hearings, right?
Yeah. Especially Kavanaugh. Yeah.
So how can you be a Supreme Court justice and you just lying? You know what? They had
to
fingers crossed or something.
Sure.
All right. First is it's not really majority rule. That was never the system. I mean, it's supposed to be. You got the Electoral College, so you can have the majority and not win. And it's not supposed to be just the Electoral College. It's supposed to be a president, Congress, and then this other branch all working together to check each other out. So it's actually not majority rule. And even the system that we have, even though you and I wouldn't be a fan of democracy, it's supposed to be kind of a democracy with a check and balance.
A democratic republic is the idea. Yes.
Yeah. So she's wrong on that one. And then, yeah, we all lie on not only do we all lie on job interviews, but like, if you ever watch any of these justices or judges ever being interviewed, the entire game is, can you get them to state their opinion on something? And then they go, no, I can't because I'm not supposed to be here. So that's the entire game.
Which was always, and you knew these people were pro-life. There was never a question about that. And they're not supposed to state their opinion on cases that have already been decided. But that changes if a case comes before them that would affect that previous case.
Of course they lied. We Regardless, all know they're lying.
Oh, it's just funny to watch her start with, this is supposed to be a democracy majority rule, in which case you should object to the Supreme Court existing at all. And then, you know, like, oh, but they didn't say this in the confirmation. Again, if all three of them had voted to uphold Roe v. Wade, would she have this problem? No, she's upset that she lost. Like, she didn't get her way.
And this is her salty. Like, she doesn't always talk this. I'm salty. Like,
well, the funny thing about it, too, is that if the argument also really stinks, but is just really stupid, because if you're going to say, oh, it should be majority rule, well, it's not as if a minority of Americans banned abortion in all 50 states. It's now left up to the states where whoever pretty much all of the states that ban this are going to be in states where the majority supports them doing that.
So in other words, the Supreme Court allowed it to be majority rule, just in divided by smaller territories.
Exactly.
So more minorities could actually get their own way.
There's also something profoundly hilarious about starting off with, well, as a black lesbian woman, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then going, I wish we lived in a system of majority rule. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, but isn't the whole thing you're talking about here that minorities are so up against it? So are we supposed to live in a system where minorities are just absolutely dominated by the majority? I don't know. Doesn't seem to be anything inherently moral about that to me. But again, right, to the point I'm making, this is just a system where, okay, just in different smaller units, the majority is still going to rule, but there's just less of the minorities being trampled on, which I don't know, as a Black lesbian woman, maybe you'd understand the idea there. But anyway, let's keep playing.
It's just a bunch of horse. It really is. Yeah.
Well, last stand.
Go ahead.
Well, no, please, ma'am.
No. Well, to me, it's like the problem is that middle stuff. It's those states in the middle, that red stuff. Mm-hmm. Why do they get to tell us what to do when the majority of us live out, you know, New York.
If we pause again.
Hold on. So just pause it. Pause it right there. Because this is beautiful. And I just in case you heard what she said at the end, she said, "What?" So the problem is these middle states, you know, like that's the problem with the country. And maybe the problem with the country is that people like you fucking hate like a huge portion of the country. And then she goes, why did they get to tell us what to do when a majority of us live in New York and California? Now, aside from just being factually incorrect, a majority of the country does not live in New York and California. They're not telling you what to do. They're deciding what they are going to do. So this is the beauty of the progressive mindset, is that if you don't want to be imposed upon, the progressives take that as you imposing yourself on them. It's a brilliant little trick that they've figured out how to do, where they'll go, oh, look, what you have here is these red states imposing their views on us. But clearly, factually speaking, that's not what's happening at all. Texas isn't saying we're going to change New York's abortion law. Texas is saying we're changing our abortion law. So the fact that you no longer get to impose yourself on them by the Supreme Court, this institution, which you don't seem to be a fan of, now, this is, well, the problem here in this country is all these middle states. This type of talk is what encourages people to support a national divorce. This type of talk is what makes people go like, so then maybe people like you shouldn't be in the same nation with these people who you have such contempt for.
It'd be so great to sit there and go, wait, so you think that red states, they shouldn't be allowed to make decisions for blue states? And you think blue states shouldn't be allowed to make decisions for red states then? So it sounds like you support this law that was just passed by the Supreme Court.
Yeah, or this decision, whatever. It certainly feels like a law. All right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Fume. Fume is the natural inhaler designed for a better, safer, and natural way to quit cigarettes. It's a no-smoke, no-vape, no-nicotine replacement for the hand-to-mouth habit of smoking. Fume is made of 100% Canadian maple and uses cores infused with plant oils studied to curb cravings. They have flavors like peppermint and Concord with minty notes to simulate menthol, and other flavors like lemon berry bliss for a sweeter experience. And all of the flavors are 100% natural. So there's no harmful chemicals, no artificial flavors, and absolutely no nicotine. Fume was launched in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, in an effort to build a world of positive habits and has since helped over 50,000 customers around the world. They're on a mission to help 1 million people quit smoking by 2025. Not only does Fume help with the quitting process, they also have support beyond quitting with over a dozen cores for relaxation, energy, and more. Quitting is tough, but Fume can really help. They've got thousands of five-star reviews from smokers who have tried everything else and this worked. I actually know a few people who have successfully quit using Fume. One of the things for me when I tried to quit smoking and vaping that was always tough was like, whether it's the gum or the patches or things like that, number one, you're not breaking the nicotine habit because you still have nicotine coming into your body. And on top of that, it's just, you miss kind of the hand-to-mouth action. This is why so many people who are trying to quit smoking go to vaping. The Fume is a great tool that covers that because you get that like feeling, that mechanical addiction of the hand-to-mouth thing. Anyway, I really recommend people try Fume, whether you're a smoker, an ex-smoker who still struggles with cravings. Fume is the perfect tool for you. It's time to create positive habits and quit naturally with Fume. And we're here to make it easier. Right now, if you go to breathefume.com/problem and use the promo code problem, you're going to save 10% off your entire order, not to mention the money you're saving on not buying those cigarettes anymore. That's 10% off your entire order when you go to breathefume.com. Now remember, fume is spelled F-U-M. So that's breathefume.com/problem. And the promo code is problem for 10% off. Quit naturally with fume and use the promo code problem to save 10% at breathefume.com/problem. All right, let's get back into the show. All right, let's play a little bit more.
If all this crap, really, I mean, right? Yeah. We're footing the bill.
Well, that's the union. It's supposed to be representative democracy, but it turns out to be minority rule right now.
Right, right. But if we fit in the bill, you know, and like California, if it were a country, be what the fifth largest, fourth, fifth largest economy. So if, you know, if I'm fitting the bill, know your position. You know what I'm saying? you know, for real. Like, look, if I say, hey, let's go out to dinner, you don't get to pick the restaurant. Just shut up and eat.
Okay, so let's pause it right there. So, man, there's so much here. Okay, not only is she like factually incorrect about who's footing the bill, okay? Yeah, that's the end of the video there. So not only is she wrong about who's footing the bill, not only is she leaving out a whole lot, like, yes, California would be a pretty big nation if it was its own nation. They also, by the way, California has the most poverty in the nation. There's more poor people in California than anywhere else. Also, man, if they were their own nation and they could just vote in whatever progressive policies they wanted to, oof, really look at how many poor people there'd be there, a lot more than there are now. And then, so she's wrong factually and then leaving out a bunch of stuff. But then the example she uses still makes her a piece of shit. Like, she goes, well, if I'm footing the bill, you have no say in whatever we're doing. Like, it's like, if I'm taking you out to dinner, you don't get to pick the restaurant. Shut up and eat. Like, I just can't even imagine. Like, I mean, I don't know. I've picked up a lot of like checks in my day. Like, if I was like, oh, Rob, let's go out to dinner tonight. You know, it's on me. I wouldn't be like, I think the next question out of my mouth would be like, what are you in the mood for? Like, I don't think I would be like, hey, Rob, you want to go out to dinner? I got this one. And then I was like, oh, okay, we're going to go over to this burger spot. And you go, I'm not really in the mood for a burger. I would go, hey, I'm paying, motherfucker. You don't get to have a say in this. Shut up and eat. You're like, even in your own example that you just chose, you could have chose any example, and you still chose one where you're the asshole. Clearly. I don't know. Just like, even if I'm picking up the check, we're still two human beings who are going out to dinner together. Is this an insight into like how Wanda Sykes is with her friends or something? You're not allowed to like go like, oh, I'm actually kind of in the mood, or like, but you can't suggest another place. Oh, there's
I'm
a seafood
to
place.
You're going to eat that cheese. I'm paying for it.
Yeah, really? I have like a severe like dairy allergy. He goes, eat the cheese, Rob. Isn't that so bizarre?
Is California net positive? Like, if you were to remove California from the U.S., do they contribute more in taxes than the benefits they receive?
You know, like, I don't know.
Kentucky's got a good deal. I've heard that, but yeah, I don't know about.
Yeah, no, I don't know exactly. But also with the Fed and all this shit with the funny money, it gets very like difficult to like exactly understand like, well, who's really taking more from who? I'll tell you that whatever you want to say about net taxpayers versus not, the people in red states disproportionately fight and die in the wars that, you know, all these powerful people on the coast send these kids to go fight in. They disproportionately die on job sites and do a lot of like the really grueling kind of like stuff for this country. So, you know, again, though, maybe the bigger point here of what's so hilarious about like you just get, now I understand that this is not like Wanda Sykes is not somebody who's like knows what the fuck she's talking about. I get that. You know, there's not like,
why do I read?
God, she's so
apparently
brilliant.
You can make a career out of just not knowing anything.
Well, you got to be a progressive. But the contradictory ideas that come out of this woman, like as I mentioned before, the you know, the idea of like, well, I am this minority and I check these six minority boxes and I want to live in a system of majority rule is so wildly ridiculous. But then also this idea at the end, isn't it funny when you really see progressives like kind of let the mask slip and tell you exactly how they view the world. And this is that whoever's paying the bill ought to be the decision maker, and everyone else can shut up and take what's given to you. The rich and the powerful will make these decisions, and you peasants, you shut up and take what we hand you. Isn't that an interesting, you know, when it's bragging about the blue states and being pro-choice, then all these idiot progressives all just cheer for it. It sounds nice. But what she's saying very clearly right here is that we'll let the people with money make the decisions, and everybody else can shut up and take what we've handed to you. It's really something to hear this come out of the mouth of a progressive, you know? That's that.
Second, there should be two classes of citizens. Those that are wealthy, that foot the bill and can make decisions. And I think what you end up when you have with the two classes, the ones that can vote just rob the poorer ones even more. But
yeah, really.
Hey, progressives. Yeah, I've learned a lot today. It's really, it's getting confusing.
It is.
Well, if we listen to Hillary Clinton, then Wanda Sykes wouldn't be on TV sharing her opinions because she's coming from a place of anger and resentment. So
that is true. I mean, she does, by the way, seem a little bit angry and resentful. Hillary Clinton, Hill Dogs made a point. She's not completely wrong. It is. There's something that's and this is true, I'm sure, for right wingers as well. In some examples, but there's something about when you kind of I guess this is a human thing in general. But when you get someone emotional, and when someone gets like agitated, they reveal a lot about themselves. When they lose their poise and they're just kind of emotional, that's when you kind of like see who someone is. And so anyway, there's just been a lot of that over the last week. It's interesting to see the reaction. This is what I was talking about. I kind of predicted this on Twitter. I was like, get ready for it, because the left, they just lost in a big way. And they don't like that. They really, they're not used to losing a lot of cultural battles. And this was the big one. So get ready for the reaction. All right. We're going to wrap up there. That's our episode for today. Thank you guys for listening. And we'll be back with a brand new episode in just as soon as you need it. We'll be there. Whatever. Day after tomorrow, we'll have a brand new episode. Peace.